Channel 4's Mark Rosen Sports Update is up next.
Want to know what you have to do?
It is 7:20, 20 minutes after 7 o'clock. Time now for Channel 4's Mark Rosen Sports Update. And Rosie, did the Stars win their third in a row?
Oh, they came close. They lost by a touchdown and
a safety. And the extra point.
And the extra point.
Oh,
and the extra point.
9-1.
Well, it's because they were upset about Louis.
No.
Yeah, that's it.
No.
Wally Walker came up with the best headline yesterday afternoon. I'm surprised the paper hasn't picked up on it. Well, I haven't seen the St. Paul paper this morning yet. Sweet Lou from the Sioux bids adieu.
So, blank you.
Wally came up with that?
Wally came up with that
by
yesterday.
By himself?
By himself.
I have a headache. Just even thinking about Wally coming up with something like that. Like that. No, it's true. Lou resigned. John Carr moved over to North Star Finance. And
that's the aspect of the story that very few people have talked about.
Yeah, exactly. He's an Aztec.
He's been there for 10 years, and he was removed from those duties.
I heard somebody today say that Jack Parr is no longer the president of the North Star.
Jack Parr.
Okay, you want to keep your finger on the pulse, buddy. I've seen one hockey game in my life. I knew it was John Carr, okay?
So what do you think of the idea of Louis as prez?
I think that whatever role that Louis could play that would reduce his stress would be a lot better for him. I guess it would depend on the duties of the president. I'm never quite clear what those are. I think I understand a little bit more with Jerry Bell with the Twins.
We think that Louis should be the North Star speech therapist.
That too.
Did you hear that story today, Rosie? The speech therapist that got so upset with a guy that stuttered, he punched him in the mouth.
God. That's
terrible.
Louis.
Yeah, Louis would do that.
It's to try to summarize and talk about Lou Nanny, you would probably need a lot more than a half hour even to describe the kind of man he is, the kind of person he is. So I've known Louis for a long time as a player, as a coach, as a general manager, as a broadcaster, and how involved he gets with everything he does. If there's such a thing as caring too much about everything, it's Lou Nanny. From his trades, his practices. I mean, he'd call me up sometimes and give me hell after a sportscast because I didn't put the NHL scores on. I mean, it's like, Louis, why do you care about this?
He cares about all that stuff.
He really did and does. And it's not to say that Louis is one of the most likable guys in the world doesn't necessarily make him a great general manager. And I don't think we should be, this should not be his obit here today. It's not a testimony to Lou Nanny, except that I think the timing is right. From a personal standpoint, you could see that his news conference yesterday that Louis needs to back off a step or two. It's not going to happen this year. He is going to continue until the end of this season. And one thing you should remember, too, about Lou Nanny and his trades, and fans get very upset about it, and there has been, and rightfully so, because I'm just watching the Stars franchise do what they've not done the last couple of years, but Louis a lot of times listened to what his head coach wanted. Bill Mahoney wanted a certain type of player. Lauren Henning wanted a certain type of player. And there have been times when Louis did not necessarily want to trade a guy or make a move, but he did give in to the wishes of his head coaches. And that's something that, doesn't always, they say the general manager makes the trades, and the coaches end up getting fired, and there are reasons for that, too. So I think it's a good time for him to step aside. I really do.
When are we having Sweet Lou from the Sioux on the air, Rosie?
What's that?
When are we having Louie on the air?
When would you like him?
Whenever possible.
Sure.
He called one day, told me a great story. He told that story about, what's the name of the owner of the Leafs?
Ballard.
Ballard.
Yeah.
He told a great story about Harold Ballard, remember that story?
Yes, I do.
Louis, we got to get Louis on the air to tell a few hockey stories. Ask me what number. It's 6:47, 13 minutes till 7 o'clock. Time once again for the worst date in the history of the planet. Valentine's Day is right around the corner.
Karen's a newlywed. She knows that.
What are you getting this year for Valentine's Day?
Same thing I got last year, which was nothing.
A missile? She's going to get a heat-seeking missile.
Probably a Beretta gun or something.
Yeah, a Beretta gun. It'd be nice. That'd be a nice prize. Maybe a stiletto?
Perhaps.
A Garrett?
Mm-hmm.
These are the kind of gifts her husband gives her, and then she goes out and kills it. No, she doesn't really.
Dear Tom and Dan, my worst date in history also happened to be my first date in history. Having gone to an all-boys military high school for 4 years and possessing... God, I just read that, it makes me nervous.
going to an all-boys military high school. Like, oh, I would have gotten real well there. Having gone to an all-boys military high school for 4 years and possessing an irrational fear of women, best understood by Dr. Jeffrey Gottlieb, I did not have my first date until the advanced age of 18. It was then that I was convinced by an older married buddy that it would be fun to go out on a double date with his wife, supplying one of her friends as my date. Ignoring a rising level of anxiety, I agreed to go, lest I be thought of as a case of arrested development or Michael Jackson. It was settled. I would pick my friend up and his wife, too, proceed to her girlfriend's house to pick up my date, and then onward to that dying American institution, the drive-in movie. My first stop, however, was the drugstore where I purchased a 55-gallon drum of industrial-strength Mitchum antiperspirant. Okay. Which I took home and applied to my armpits with a paint roller. My friend and his wife were ready and sitting on their front steps when I arrived that evening. He was carrying a brown paper bag in which I was told were 3 bottles of Boone's Farm Strawberry Hill.
Mm-mm.
An absolute necessity if one wants to fully appreciate the drive-in movie experience. A short drive to my date's house and 2 beeps of the horn brought forth from the house a woman who approached my repulsive beige 1962 Buick with apprehension. Oh, great, I thought. Her mom's coming out to tell me that her daughter is sick and won't be able to go to the drive-in with us. Instead, to my horror, she opened the door and climbed in. The look on her face indicated that she was as surprised to see me as I was to see her. Without even saying hi, she looked me in the eye and asked, "How old are you?" 18, I replied apologetically. "How old are you?" I blurted out, forgetting that this tends to be a sensitive area with many women. She stared at her friend in the back seat with a drop-dead look that can only come from a woman who's reached a level of fury just short of murder, and slowly replied, "I'm 31. She slammed the car door shut and pronounced that she had promised her babysitter that she would be home by 10 o'clock. Babysitter, I thought. You don't need a babysitter unless you have babies. Then I found out she had 2 kids, the oldest of whom was almost the same age as my little brother. I went into a complete Mitchum arrest, my body drenched in aluminum aluminum chlorohydrate sludge. I never recovered from the initial shock and sat in stunned silence throughout the movie, totally unable to make clever small talk and looking like a complete dork, which I surely was. My friend and his wife were no help at all, as they provided no conversation, but instead sat in the back seat making guttural noises and practicing what appeared to be wrestling holds. When the movie was over, I quickly ushered everyone home, grateful that the worst night of my life was finally coming to an end. All I had to show for the evening were deep psychological scars and the 3 bottles of Strawberry Hill still in the bag and apparently ignored all evening. Looking in the bag, however, I discovered that my date had broken the seals on all 3 bottles in the hope that I would get pulled over by the police for any number of equipment violations common to 1962 Buicks. I would also get nailed for open bottle. She even hated me in absentia. Although this happened long ago, Tom and Dan, I am yet unable to watch Woody Allen movies or listen to certain Steely Dan records. I appreciate this opportunity to tell you of my shame, as I am sure it will go a long way toward my eventual recovery. Signed sincerely, Mike Stahl, St. Paul. Oh, man. If you've had a worse date in the history of the planet, drop